My name is Boris, and back in 62, the Crypt Kickers and I brought the Monster Mash to you.
Hi, this is Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
Hey, we're the Dolly Rods.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Lewis.
This is Chip Davis from Mannheim Steamroller.
This is Candace Knight of Blackmore's Night, and you're listening to the Sounds of Christmas podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. And if you're listening this week, you might have noticed that. Our music this month is much different than what we normally play on the Sounds of Christmas. Throughout all of October, we're the Sounds of Halloween, playing spooky songs for the current season while we get hundreds of new Christmas songs loaded and ready to go. The philosophy behind the Sounds of Christmas is that there's a lot of great Christmas music out there, and most traditional radio stations stick to a tired, short list of songs that get played over and over. We play a very wide variety, and in addition to your favorites, we play some artists and some versions of songs that you may not be familiar with, but we think you're going to like them. We also do the same thing in October with Halloween music. For example, we play a song you probably know called Monster Mash. We play lots of versions of Monster Mash, and I'll get to that in a moment. But first, I wanted to share a little info about the song. The original Monster Mash was released as a single in August of 1962 by Bobby Boris Pickett. It was also released on Bobby's album of the same name, which included other spooky songs, many of which you'll also hear on the Sounds of Halloween. It took Monster Mash almost 2 months to make it all the way to the number one spot on the charts, and all these years later, it continues to remain successful, generating around $1 million in royalties every year. In the early 1960s, Bobby Pickett was an aspiring actor who sang with a band called the Cordials. He did that at night while going to acting auditions during the day. One night, while performing with the band, he did a monologue in imitation of horror movie actor Boris Karloff while performing the Diamonds hit song Little Darlin'. The audience loved it, and fellow band member Lenny Capizzi encouraged Pickett to do more with the Karloff imitation. Shortly after that, Pickett and Capizzi composed Monster Mash and recorded it with Gary Paxton and Leon Russell on piano, with a band credited as the Crypt Kickers. They also had a group of background singers that included Darlene Love. The song was partially inspired by Paxton's earlier novelty hit, Alley Oop, as well as by the mashed potato dance craze of the time. The producers made extensive use of sound effects in the recording. The sound of a coffin opening was imitated by a rusty nail being pulled out of a board. The sound of a cauldron bubbling was simulated by water being bubbled through a straw, which the Beatles would later copy on their hit Yellow Submarine. The BBC banned the record from airplay in 1962 on the grounds that the song was, quote, too morbid, end quote. But it was later performed on the network's television program, Jukebox Jury, by the novelty group The Children of the Night. Monster Mash was re-released several times, appearing on the Billboard charts again in 1970 and 1973. In fact, in 1973, it made it all the way up to number 10. Monster's Holiday, a Christmas-themed follow-up, was recorded by Bobby Pickett and released in December 1962, peaking at number 30 on the Billboard chart. In 1974, Buck Owens reinvented Monster's Holiday, giving it the title It's a Monster's Holiday. That song peaked at number 6 on Billboard's country chart in mid-September of the same year, and number 9 in Canada. In 1985, as rap music became more and more popular, Pickett released Monster Rap, which describes the mad scientist's frustration at being unable to teach the dancing monster from Monster Mash how to talk. The problem is solved, so to speak, when he teaches the monster to rap. In 1989, Stuart Hirsch began managing Bobby Pickett. When he found out that Pickett did not own the master recording of Monster Mash, the two worked to record a perfect copy of the original Monster Mash just a few years later in 1993, and they used that to undercut the owners of the original track, Universal. According to Hirsch, the company was unconcerned with the song's legacy and was instead preoccupied with how much money they could get off of it. Pickett was missing out on thousands of dollars in licensing fees, but Hirsch and Pickett's goal was not just to make money. They wanted to help keep Monster Mash relevant by making Monster Mash affordable to independent production houses. They ensured it would always have a place in culture. A movie musical based on the song starring Bobby Pickett was released in 1995. During the 2004 presidential election, Bobby Pickett turned the song into a campaign video and retitled it Monster Slash, with lyrics by environmental campaigner Peter Altman, in which he criticized President George W. Bush's environmental policies. There have been lots of covers of Monster Mash over the years, some by artists you know and some by names that may not be familiar to you. The first cover, I believe, was in 1964 by the Beach Boys. It appeared on their album, The Beach Boys Concert. The Bonzo Dog Doodah Band played a version in the UK on the TV series Do Not Adjust Your Set, and then later recorded a version for their 1969 album, Tadpoles. In 1977, horror legend Vincent Price recorded a version as a single. Retro group Sha Na Na recorded a version in the 80s, and singer-songwriter Andrew Gold recorded a version for his Spooky Scary Skeletons album in the 90s. That version also featured Linda Ronstadt and Stephen Bishop. The punk group The Misfits also recorded it in the 90s, and then again in 2003. A few years later, Mannheim Steamroller recorded it for their first Halloween release. That same year, Hayseed Dixie also recorded it. Ray Stevens recorded a version in 2012, followed by the Dolly Rots a few years later. And a few years after that, both Pomplamoose and Peter Hollins included Monster Mash in Halloween-themed medleys. It's also been covered by Arthur Brown, Faster Pussycat, Joe Bob Briggs, and Larry the Cable Guy. This past August, Alice Cooper released a version on the charity collection Solid Rock Revival, Rock for Children. So it's quite possible that when you listen this month, you could hear a version of Monster Mash that sounds different than what you're expecting. We also have lots of versions of The Purple People Eater, besides the original by Sheb Woolley, including versions by George Thorogood and Judy Garland, not together. And musical interpretations of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven by at least half a dozen artists, including the Alan Parsons Project and Lou Reed, also not together. There are lots of songs from Disney movies and shows, and lots of songs from horror movies and scary TV shows, alongside sillier songs from parodies and comedies, even some Broadway show tunes. I think the oldest song in rotation this month is still Robert Johnson's Crossroad Blues. The newest might be something from the new Marvel show Agatha All Along, or from Duran Duran's deluxe edition of their Dance Macabre album. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that I hope you enjoy listening and that you don't have to worry about hearing the same version of Monster Mash over and over. I'm looking forward to the new season of The Sounds of Christmas and sharing tons of new music with you, but for now, I hope you have fun with The Sounds of Halloween. Thanks so much for listening and helping me share some Christmas spirit and some Halloween spirit, and for continuing to support The Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station. And you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page, and I'll put a link to that down in the show notes, that lists most, if not all, of the streaming sites that carry our podcast. So you can scroll down, find your favorite, click on over, subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, The Sounds of Halloween, The Sounds of Christmas Station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. May you always believe in Santa Claus and the Great Pumpkin.